Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. As a business owner, you've probably had moments when you thought to yourself, if only I'd known then what I know now. You can look back at those early years and easily identify your mistakes, missed opportunities, and wasted time. In reality, what I want you to know is that you didn't make any mistakes, you didn't miss a single opportunity, and there wasn't a second wasted. Everything that happened to you was a lesson that brought you to where you are today. Because of those perceived mistakes and gut-wrenching choices, you are wise, you've been tested, and you're ready for the success that's coming your way. I'm sure you've learned lots of valuable lessons during your entrepreneurial adventure. I thought it'd be fun to ask some of the folks in my network of introvert entrepreneurs what their biggest lessons were, and then share them with you. So this episode includes my own insights from my first year in business, as well as those of 13 other business owners. We'll talk about the importance of trust, patience, showing up, curiosity, connection, love, and letting go. My guess is that many of these stories will be familiar to you because you've probably experienced them yourself. I also expect that you're going to come away with new ways to look at your business and how to strengthen and build up your business and yourself. And you'll note that these lessons learned from our early years apply not only to our business, but to our lives in general. They apply to any new project or journey or transition that we set out on. So in no particular order, I'm going to share with you these lessons that I've compiled. And while they're not in any particular order, I do think this first one is one of the most powerful, and that is the ability to trust. I've learned to trust myself, the process, and that everything is happening as it should. That there are no mistakes that I could make that would be too devastating. I've learned to trust that I'm on the right path and that the resources and people will be there when I need them. There's also something about compassion and forgiveness that's closely related to trust. When I trust myself, then I'm able to forgive myself for the inevitable misstep or misspoken word. And I'm able to move on and do so with compassion and understanding for the journey. I trust that I can put something out there and see what happens, and that no matter what happens, I can handle it. And I've also learned not to compare myself and my journey to others. That is one of the surest ways to send me down the wrong path. So it's about trusting what I have to offer and not comparing myself. One indicator of trust is that we're comfortable finding the answers from within ourselves. Amber Singleton Revere, founder of RockYourGenius.com and UpstartSmart.com, shares what happened to her in her early days of business. She found, "The answer was not at the office supply store. In the beginning, I always thought that the answer was somewhere out there. Like if I got my desk in just the right order or found the perfect planner or filing system at Office Depot, everything else in my business world would finally start to work. I finally realized that the answer wasn't external, it was internal. I had to be concentrating on the right things, not wasting time on trivial things like organizing and reorganizing my surroundings." Now let's move to another element of trusting ourselves, and that is that trusting also means believing in ourselves even when others say no. Business etiquette consultant Arden Kleiss offers this to us. "I think for me, my biggest lesson, one I continue to learn, is that it's not personal. They didn't call you back because they have a million other things on their mind. They didn't hire you not because they didn't like you, but because you didn't make it clear that you can meet their needs. It's really easy to personalize everything, especially as I put myself out there and take risks. But most of the time, it's not about me. Another piece of advice comes from Barbara Breckenfeld of Blue Horse Marketing. She offers up that one of the biggest indicators that trust is at work in our business is the willingness to fire your client. She wrote, "It was summer of 2000, and I'd been in business for 3 months. I fired a client whose work I needed, but whose values were not a good match for mine. My body had such a reaction to being in that office, it made me pay attention. It was scary to do, but what a relief." So that underlying message is to trust yourself, trust what's important to you, trust the reaction you have to your clients, and pay attention to that and honor it. The next big lesson comes in the area of patience. This was one of the hardest ones to learn during that first year. It was about having patience with myself, patience with the process, and with my progress, and patience with other people, including potential clients. Sometimes we're waiting to hear back from someone, and we can grow rather impatient, and remembering that this is all new to them, and it's a lot to digest, and we're asking them to make an investment in themselves in some way by doing business with us. So to have patience is very important. Things take time. And also to have patience with things that we can't control. We have all experienced the downturn in the economy in one way or another. And I have learned not to use the economy as an excuse. At the same time, I understand that there are things I can control and others that I can't. There's also patience about the process when it comes to things not happening as quickly as I would like. What I learned was that there is power and opportunity to be found in the plateaus of those times when it feels like nothing is happening. Those are ideal times to take a breath, to stop, to listen, to look, to reflect, to plan, to experience gratitude and appreciation, and to recharge and get excited for what's ahead. We would be exhausted if we were continually climbing and climbing and climbing. We need that plateau, so to have patience for when that happens is really critical. Leslie Irish Evans, who is founder of Peeling Mom Off the Ceiling, knows all about patience. And as a mom and introvert entrepreneur, she juggles a lot of things at once. For her, having patience means that multitasking is out. Here's what she has to say about it. "You may think you can do more than one thing at a time, but you really, really can't. Multitasking makes you stupid, according to a recent study. Dividing our brain's attention between two or more activities causes diminished response for both tasks. So even though you think it might be more efficient to balance the books while catching up on TV, it isn't. Doing one thing at a time will get your tasks done more quickly and more accurately." Another piece of advice comes from Deborah Drake, who is a writing marketing coach and business catalyst. She offers that working around the clock isn't going to get us to our goals any faster. And she shares this insight. "The first year, I would say I worked as many as 14 hours daily in the name of my new adventures and sacrificed sleep happily, not realizing that I was compromising my ability to focus over time. There was great output at 2 a.m., but to rise again at 7 a.m. to send my daughter off to school was progressively more challenging by Wednesday. So I still give myself permission to pull the occasional late night when I'm on a roll, but I try not to make a habit of it too many nights in a row. As a best practice for me, I both allow myself to binge on creative exploits occasionally and also set appointments with myself to stop working on what I love so much and focus on recharging the batteries of this Energizer Bunny. Someone who knows all about needing to be an Energizer Bunny is Judy Dunn of Cat's Eye Marketing. She and her husband have been in business together for more than 17 years, and she shares a story that demonstrates the virtue of being patient and persistent when getting your business off the ground. She writes, "As I recall, in Cat's Eye's first year, I was juggling two other part-time jobs. Bob, my husband and biz partner, was moonlighting nights as a bartender. We needed the income to sustain us until we built up enough client numbers. Looking back, I don't know how we did it. One full-time business and three part-time jobs. The lesson I took away was, I think you do what you need to succeed. The words that come to mind, perseverance, persistence, perhaps downright stubbornness. As sleep-deprived as we were, we learned that the business was not going to magically take off and fly by itself. We had problems setting boundaries that first year. The business consumed us. But you know what? We are still having problems setting boundaries." And I can concur with Judy on that. And again, that's another place where patience comes in. It will all be there in the morning. It will be there on Monday. And to have patience with the process and recognize that working round the clock and not having good boundaries can cause burnout sooner rather than later. Another huge key and lesson that I learned that first year is about showing up. I put as my mantra that first year, show up, show up, show up. Get out of the house, get out of my home office, keep going to events and workshops, and be fully present. And one thing I realized about showing up, it's not just about being physically present. It's about showing up to people, through people, for people, and for yourself. So I'm going to say a little bit about each one of those, because the showing up piece is critically important and was a huge lesson, and I think is particularly important for introverts to put out there as a stretch and to make sure that we are paying good attention to how much we show up. So showing up to people, this is perhaps the most obvious of the showing up opportunities. It means to be completely present, physically, emotionally, and mentally to others. You give the situation your full attention and energy. And no matter where you're showing up, you are representing your business. Are you showing up in a way that reflects your values and attitudes about success and client service? What's your intention when you enter into a room of people? For me, the question is, what do I have to offer here? Rather than, what will I get out of this? This mindset allows me to receive ideas and opportunities that I otherwise might not have noticed. Again, we hear from Amber Singleton Revere, and she has this to say about showing up and the lesson she learned about it early on. I learned that I had to be willing to put myself out there, an obvious problem for the introverts among us, myself included. I spent so much time planning and planning and planning my marketing strategy, but when it came time to implement it, I would invariably freeze up. Eventually, I just had to get over it and say, "Are you going to do this or not?" Another way we show up is through other people. One time I was out of town at a training session. When I returned, I hadn't been home 10 minutes before my husband told me that he'd reconnected with a childhood friend who was interested in becoming a coaching client. Two things led to that conversation. First, his sister knew what I was doing and told this friend. Then she talked to Andy, and he mentioned it. Without me needing to be present, two people promoted my services, and a client was born. So the lesson here is to find those people who are your biggest cheerleaders and advocates. They could be family members, friends, teachers, mentors, and professional colleagues. They might even be the people that you would otherwise consider your competition. Because often, if we are able to shift our perspective from competition to collaboration, we learn that there is more than enough business to go around. and that we can really, if we advocate for each other, all of our businesses will benefit. So reach out intentionally and say, let's learn more about each other's businesses and needs and expertise so we can extend our reach to more people. Know the basics of their services, exchange 10 or so business cards, and make it easy to talk about each other. Share what you're both looking for in a client or project. Remember your former satisfied customers and clients in this equation, and stay in touch as your business grows and evolves. Their testimonials, success stories, and referrals are the ultimate in showing up through others. There's also showing up for people. And again, this brings up that competition piece. A competitive attitude leads to a scarcity mentality. Seeing things through a competitive lens means that there's only so much to go around. There are finite resources, clients, projects, money, opportunity. That mindset leads to isolation and fear, two deal breakers for any entrepreneur. As a successful professional, you recognize that showing up for other people creates community and shared prosperity. It extends your network in unexpected ways, and you have the potential to learn something new from everyone you meet. We show up for others when we attend a workshop or event they are hosting. I hosted my first teleclass the first year of my business, and several other coaches participated in support of my new endeavor. I cannot tell you how wonderful and affirming that felt. When you're showing up for others, you're also sending handwritten snail mail thank you notes when someone gives you a referral, a testimonial, or a useful resource. Take time to write a comment on a colleague's blog, reciprocate a link, retweet, or give them a Facebook thumbs up when you like something they post. Take a moment to write a compliment or reference on someone's social media profile and ask that they do the same for you when it's appropriate. I believe that there's an element to showing up for others that involves success by association. The more I'm around people who have done the things I want to do, such as write a book, host successful workshops, give keynote speeches, the more normalized such activities become. My support of their success means I have increased opportunities to learn from them and view them as role models and mentors. And if you've reached the success that other people are looking for, I encourage you to be there for people like me who want to be encouraged and reminded that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step and continues to be thousands of single steps. The last part about showing up is showing up for yourself. This above all, to thine own self be true. These words of Shakespeare's Polonius in Hamlet sound simple enough, yet the implications are profound. Coaches are among those professionals who have done deep personal work around core values, strengths, and goals, and they support others through their own discovery process. Based on the work I've done, I'm clear about what types of self-care are going to support me best. That consciousness allows me to make choices based on honoring that which is most important to me. In my case, it's scheduling my days in a way that reflects my natural rhythm and energy. It's taking time for a nap, volunteering for community groups I care about, and saying no to the fourth evening event in the same week. Think about what values are most important to you, and how are you turning those values into action? Staying true to your core, to your preferences, to your personality, and practicing meaningful self-care means you will have more energy for all of the others showing up that you want to do. Along those lines, we get some advice from a few entrepreneurs who talk a little bit about self-care. One is Bob Lang, and he is a multi-talented guy who's worked for 30-plus years in audio, video, and photography. And he tells us of one important way to show up for yourself. He writes, "You'll have slow days and full days. Keep your daily routine, no matter what kind of day you're facing. Waking, eating, quitting, sleeping. Work while you're at it. Relax when it's time to. Use a planner. Prioritize. Wonderful advice for taking care of yourself, especially if it's important for you to have structure in your days. More advice comes for Jennifer Manlow, who is an author and memoir writing coach, Life Design Publishing, and she's been in business for the past 4 years, and she reinforces Bob's message. She writes, "Keep up your regular schedule, as if this biz were an ideal job. Downtime can spiral without focus." Jennifer also has this wisdom about taking care of our physical selves. She writes, "Keep up your health, rest, exercise, play, spiritual community involvement, have beloved friendships. This entrepreneur thing is like an endless marathon that demands your health, focus, strategizing, flexibility, humility, and humor." There is a caveat to all of this showing up. You can't be everywhere for everyone. Leslie Irish Evans also learned that being available 24/7 is not such a good move. She shares, "This may seem like a good idea on the surface, being available 24/7. What if something goes wrong? I'm the only one who can do it right. But keeping regular business hours will preserve your health and sanity for the long haul. Having specific hours set aside for business and leaving the remaining hours for rest, relaxation, family, and home will allow you to feel a real sense of accomplishment at the end of each day. You will know you got work done, rather than having a consistent unease about whether you've done enough. Emergencies are an exception, of course, but save those after-hour interruptions for true emergencies and keep yourself free and clear from burnout." An extension of the theme of following up is making connections. And so really it's about making strategic connections, reaching out to others for support and mentorship, networking with authenticity, approaching your business, again, with that spirit that there's more than enough to go around and that we're all connected and we're all in community. When one of us wins, everyone wins. Career and business coach Val Nelson offers what helped her succeed. She writes, "A zillion things and hundreds of people have helped me. It takes a village to grow an entrepreneur. But I think there is one thing that stands out as a secret of my success. I hired a coach right away and continue to have one. She helps me get clear on my goals, stay focused, and keep moving forward despite all of the fears that crop up during the tough financial moments. A typical fear voice, should I just go get a job? Having a savvy coach that understands me has truly made all the difference. And my coach helped me commit to going to yoga, which has been a key for staying healthy and sane, and also fully present with my clients." While trade shows and exhibition halls might be stretching the comfort zone of the typical introvert, Joan Chamberlain, founder of Recipe Relish, gives us good reason to take a leap of faith. She says, "Having a booth at a trade show appropriate for your industry is one of the best educations I got in my first year. Experienced vendors were happy to share their knowledge with me and offer the lessons they learned through trial and error. It's like a mini business course crammed into 3 or 4 days. So to get the most out of the lessons of your early years, another good piece of advice is to live with curiosity, to live in the questions. Always be asking what and how and why. And when something isn't going my way or I feel discouraged, I become curious about it. I learned that first year there's nothing I can't handle if I approach it with curiosity." Jennifer Manlow shares these wise words: "Always be willing to change, learn, grow, and ask for help where and when you feel lost." Another great point comes from Linda Snyder of Ladies Who Launch Seattle about bringing out curiosity in others. She shares this lesson with us: "When your product is your intellectual property, You have to pick and choose what to give away for free as a sample of your abilities, and what to hold close for clients to purchase. When I started business coaching, as I met with clients to talk about their pain points and what I could do to help them, I fell in love with their business and wanted to help make them more brilliant and better. So I was brimming over with ideas for them, and the ideas tumbled out faster than I could write them down sometimes. It took a while to discover that I was doing both of us a disservice. To them, TMI, too much information. They were on information overload with no structure to put the ideas in action alongside a cohesive and thoughtful strategy. Me, NER, not enough revenue. With a smorgasbord of ideas to put in place, they were filled up with things to put in place, which they never really got around to, while I was wondering why they didn't call me back. When I found the right balance between providing an actionable and easy-to-implement takeaway, they developed a need for more from me. The relationship and my revenue stream blossomed. So the lesson there is, leave them wanting more. Leave them curious about what is possible if they begin working with you. Next comes love. A huge lesson for me in that first year was about coming from a place of love in everything that I do. And it starts with my mindset and my language. What I learned is that I invite and I attract. I don't get clients. I'm not looking for clients. If my language starts to sound desperate, if there are have to and shoulds and assumptions being made, I'm coming from fear. Remembering that I love what I do and that's what I'm put on this earth to do helps me come from a place of love. Carolyn Osborne, who has been in business for almost 16 years as the artist behind Creative Forces and Signs of Distinction, Sacred Embers, gives us some great advice about showing up from a place of love. She says, smile and convey confidence. It will go a long way. I had a hard time speaking in large groups, but figured out that smiling and being confident really made a difference, especially if you get to talk about something that you love. So keeping in mind that you love what you do and that you trust yourself and you believe in yourself, if you come from that place of love, fear just doesn't have any room to take up residency. The last lesson that I would say is one of the most important is about letting go. It's about letting go and releasing attachment to what should be happening, of letting go of limiting beliefs, those beliefs that hold us back, letting go of the need to know, letting go of the need to be right, letting go of the need to be perfect. Lynn Baldwin Rhodes, founder of The Power Chicks, offers a perspective that reminds us that letting go enables us to move forward. She says, dreaming is lovely, but action is what makes things happen. Even little steps that move me forward towards business success keep me motivated. A critical part of letting go includes releasing attachment to our closely held ideas, including things we assume, such as what our business is going to look like. Jennifer Manlow shares this lesson. Be willing to morph and change as more is revealed. As another mentor of mine, Barbara Winter, says, what you start out doing will not be what you end up doing as an entrepreneur. One final lesson that sums up everything is from Linda Snyder of Ladies Who Launch Seattle. She writes, it always takes more time than you planned, more money than you have available, and more tenacity than you ever thought you had. But time expands to fit the task, the money comes from somewhere, and tenacity shows up during your darkest times, fueled by the glimmer of a few brilliant, successful moments. Linda wrote these words in November 2002 in an email to her mother. Her mom sent her back this same email as a reminder 3 months after she relaunched Ladies Who Launch in May of 2009. Linda says, I love my mom. She used to save my school papers. Another lesson here is that it's nice to have someone that thinks you're brilliant in your corner. I want to end this episode of The Introvert Entrepreneur by reading something that sums up the feeling of letting go and the enormous power and release we can feel if we let go and take a leap. The piece is called She Let Go, and it's by Ernest Holmes. She let go. Without a thought or a word, she let go. She let go of the fear, she let go of the judgments, she let go of the confluence of opinions swarming around her head. She let go of the committee of indecision within her. She let go of all the right reasons. Wholly and completely, without hesitation or worry, she just let go. She didn't ask anyone for advice. She didn't read a book on how to let go. She didn't search the scriptures. She just let go. She let go of all of the memories that held her back. She let go of all of the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. She let go of the planning and all the calculations about how to do it just right. She didn't promise to let go. She didn't journal about it. She didn't write the projected date in her day timer. She made no public announcement and put no ad in the paper. She didn't check the weather report or read her daily horoscope. She just let go. She didn't analyze whether she should let go. She didn't call her friends to discuss the matter. She didn't do a 5-step spiritual mind treatment. She didn't call the prayer line. She didn't utter one word. She just let go. No one was around when it happened. There was no applause or congratulations. No one thanked her or praised her. No one noticed a thing. Like a leaf falling from a tree, she just let go. There was no effort. There was no struggle. It wasn't good and it wasn't bad. It was what it was, and it was just that. In the space of letting go, she let it all be. A small smile came over her face. A light breeze blew through her, and the sun and the moon shone forevermore. This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. Special thanks to the following entrepreneurs who contributed an early lesson learned for inclusion in this episode: Linda Snyder, Carolyn Osborne, Lynn Baldwin-Rhodes, Jennifer Manlow, Amber Singleton Revere, Judy Dunn, Deborah Drake, Leslie Irish Evans, Val Nelson, Arden Kleiss, Barbara Breckenfeld, Bob Lang, and Joan Chamberlain. Special thanks to you for spending this time with me. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.